Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, and of course you do, be a friend, be a pal, and tell a friend, because I'm a delicate, sensitive flower and my feelings get hurt. Today, we are chatting with Kathy from Allied Cleaning Services. Allied Cleaning Services provides Kansas City with excellent residential post-renovation cleanup. If you want to reach out to Kathy and her team, you can get a hold of them at, or get a hold of her at PattersonCA@sbcglobal.net, or just give her a ring, 816-309-9096. Kathy, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, everyone. How are you this morning?
That was fantastic. I got to let everyone in. We've been talking. Kathy seems super nervous beforehand, and I promised her she'd have fun. And then she comes out with a super happy hello, no nervous at all. So you've got, I'm falling for it, Kathy. I think they're all fooled that you're not nervous at all.
Great. Awesome.
Well, as you may know, before we get into the meaty coaching of the stuff, I love to hear, just about people's lives. Are you married? Are you single? What part of the country? How'd you get into the business? Just tell us your story.
Well, I am single with three beautiful girls in college. And in 2007, I worked at North Kansas City Hospital for many years. And I was just kind of tired of people dying, and I have good relationships with them, and I just wanted to do something different. So I just thought maybe I could go into business for myself, and I thought cleaning. I know how to clean very well. My mother always told me, no matter what you do, put your best effort and make sure, even if you clean restroom, make sure it's the cleanest as everyone else's. So I decided to quit the hospital and go out on my own. I took my own things that I had from cleaning out of my home, my own 409, my own bucket, rag, and so ever. And I went to flyers, and I put them in different neighborhoods, and I had a couple of clients. And there was a very wonderful gentleman that owned a painting company, and he put in my mind, "Have you ever done construction site cleanups?" And I did not know what that meant at the time, but he explained to me. And at the time, Go Forth Construction was here in Kansas City. And he introduced me, and we got our first job. It was a very first Smoothie King. We started out doing residential. And then they liked my work, and it just kind of grew bigger and bigger from there. And then someone liked my work at a hotel, and we started doing final cleans for Darden's restaurants, which they do Capital Grille, Seasons 52, Bahama Breeze, my five-star restaurants, as well as my well-end, like Red Lobster, Olive Garden.
Tell me you get a discount at all those restaurants that you clean. Tell me you get a discount.
Yes.
Well, more importantly, tell me that you can share that discount with your friend Mike. What's that?
Every so often, they give me a gift card, and I would take my team out to dinner to show them what a great job that they did. So it was awesome.
That's so generous. I would have been a piggy and eaten it all myself, but the whole taking your team out, that's a much better idea.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, fantastic. That is such a cool story. And the nice thing about not working in the hospital anymore is I would imagine it's very few people die at work when you're nowadays.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If they do die, you've probably done something wrong. You might need more coaching than I'm going to be able to give you just on this
show. Right, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, you should have
a lot better fit. And
you should have less than a dozen fatalities annually is the number, is the research that I've been getting. So I don't know if that matches up with yours, but that's
right.
Where I'm at.
Yes, right.
All right. Well, perfect. Thank you so much. It was a really good introduction. I love hearing people's stories.
And that's so cool. Oh, before we get going, do you do all the cleaning yourself? Do you have employees? Where are you at that? You know, how are you set for that?
Actually, I have employees. My job is to try to get more contracts to where we keep our employees in very busy. So I kind of do that. And then I have frontline people that do the work for me.
Good for you. That's a great shift that a lot of cleaners take too long or don't ever make, which is if you're cleaning, you can only make 10, 20 bucks an hour, depending on what part of the country you're in. But if you're getting contracts and creating systems and hiring and training, you can make a lot more than 10, 20 bucks an hour. And quite frankly, when you get good at it, it's a lot more fun than cleaning.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct.
Cool. How many people do you have on your team?
Right now we have about 5. It depends on what jobs we do. We kind of pull more people, you know, for bigger jobs, like it might be 15 to 20. So we're in the process of getting different contracts and doing some more hiring
so we can
grow.
How long did it take you to grow from just you to these 5 to 10 employees?
Probably about maybe 2 or 3 years, possibly.
That's really good. Congratulations. That's it's just so fun how some people go from 0 to 1 million in a year or two. Some people never hire their first person, and it's just great to hear everybody's story. So I really appreciate you sharing, and I think that really encourages Cleaning Nation. Some are going faster. Some aren't going as fast. It's just nice to hear other real humans kind of share their experience. So thank you very much, and I think that'll be a value to Cleaning Nation. Now, that said, let's give some value to your life. What are you struggling in your business? What's not working? What can I help you with specifically today?
Well, just how to achieve more contracts and, of course, have good available and dependable employees that so we can just keep everyone busy every day.
All right. So that's a big, big topic. I'm not going to be able to help you with all that in 8 minutes. If you can pick something a little more specific, we'll jump on that.
Okay. How do we deal with employees that call in?
Okay. That's a great question. And I wish I could say, man, you know, Kathy, no one's interested. No one has that problem. It's just you. I don't want to coach you on that. But sadly, it's the reverse. I'm sure everybody's listening. And how to deal with call-ins, or we could actually probably combine it to no call, no shows, or no show, but with a call. Would that be helpful?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, cool. Get your writing pen and your thinking hat on. I'm going to go fast because that's the only way I know how to do it. So, first of all, I always coach everyone up. You've got to set the stage from the start. A lot of people have employees that don't call or don't show, or call and don't show, or don't call and don't show. Some awful combination of, I ain't going to be there today. And they want to solve the problem then. And that's a tough one. I'm going to give you some coaching on how to deal with it, but you can't solve the problem then. It's already too late, right? If someone's supposed to be in an account at noon and they call you at 12:30, oh yeah, I can't make it. I'm drunk or disinterested, or, you know, some story about their brother-in-law who's in the jail, or, you know,
whatever nonsense they got. It's too late, right? That problem is now on fire. So we want to deal with it way. And I'm going to tell you how to deal with it. But again, that's not going to solve it. We're going to solve it, you know, 6 months ago. So there's a couple ways. First, you got to go from the start. And the start is how you even advertise, right? So when you do your advertising, well, you got to, even before that, you've got to know your core values, your vision, and you've got to communicate those clearly. Like, so for me, when I've had my brick and mortar businesses, and even in this business that I'm in now, it's have fun, help out, make money, and be real. Not showing up really violated those core values, because it's not real, because you said you were going to be there and you didn't. That's very duplicitous. It's not real at all. It's not fun for all the people that are here. And if you've been here another time when someone else didn't call and didn't, you know, your partner didn't show up, that's not a lot of fun. It certainly doesn't make you money because you're staying home, so you're not going to get paid and you're probably going to get fired. So that's not a making money thing. And it certainly doesn't make the company any money because you're not here to work. And it's not helping out, right? You're not helping out our customers that we've committed to help. You're not helping out your teammates. You're not helping me. You're not helping anybody. So it violated every one of our core values. And whatever your core values are, they're going to be different. I'm pretty sure not showing up or calling in all the time is going to violate those core values. So what most people do is they hire whatever warm body that can fog a mirror that comes across them. They hire that guy or gal, and then they try and pound their core values, even if they haven't thought them through. You own them in your heart, right? So you're always trying to kind of sell people on what you believe and how you think things should be done. I just call them core values because it's easier to talk about. So you hire any Tom, Dick, or Harry or Jane, and start pounding in your core values, and they don't have those core values. So you're always at odds until they finally blow up and leave, or, you know, don't show up. Whereas if you just start from the beginning advertising for people to get really fired up that believe in having fun, making money, being real and helping out, or whatever your core values are, then you're not fighting them. You're finding people that already have those core values and their beliefs, and you're stoking that fire, and they want to be a part of the thing that you've created. So overall, foundationally, that is how you want to build your company. So it's a team. Everybody shares the same values. They're all super excited. They all believe the same thing, and they want to be there. And when they can't be there, it's generally a legitimate reason. They'll call you in advance, and they treat you like a human being because you've tapped into something deeper than you give me an hour of your time, and I'll give you $8.50, kind of a transaction. I know that's really conceptual, but it's really important. Does that make sense before we move on to some more tactical stuff?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So start with the core values, and you've got to be consistent, especially in the cleaning business, right? Turnover is, for any business that you're going to be in, is a pain in the ass. When you get, pardon my language, but it just is. When you get to fast food or the cleaning industry, it's three times as bad as the rest of the world. And I've never had a fast food restaurant, thank God, but I have had a cleaning company, so I feel the pain. And the way that you do that is in the advertising. You say right off the bat, no call, no show, no job, zero tolerance. When you get in the interview, you say, if you do this, this is going to be the problem. When you go through the training, you repeat constantly, if you don't show up, you are not going to have a job. Not only will you not have a job, you are going to hate it here. Just go find another job where they won't fire you immediately. You're going to be miserable. So throughout the whole process, when you advertise to get a client or to get a prospective employee in, all over the advertising is responsibility, showing up, do what you say. If you don't like that, you're in the wrong spot, go somewhere else. Throughout the interview process, and we talk about that on other shows, it's a process, not one interview, you communicate that message throughout the training, ongoing at monthly meetings. You're constantly teaching that verbally and non-verbally. The non-verbal ways you teach it are when somebody doesn't show up,
my tolerance is no call, no show, you are fired immediately. No questions. It doesn't matter. Got a doctor's note? You should have called with the doctor's note, right? If they call in, like you talked about, and it's a legitimate experience, and I'm okay with that. We can work about it. But if you don't call, don't show, no job, zero tolerance. And the thing that you've got to understand as an owner, as you are 100% going to be communicating to your entire team something every time somebody doesn't show up. If you don't do anything and you look the other way, you're screaming out loud and clear, this is totally acceptable behavior. It's fine. If you make a big stink about it and fire them immediately, if they no call, no show, that you're absolutely communicating a message non-verbally there. If they do call and it's a ridiculous excuse and you call them on their crap and fire that person, that's a message. If it's someone that really is, there really is a death in the family, or there's a legitimate reason, and you treat them with love and caring and respect, that's a message. The problem is a lot of people try and just look the other way, or they don't want to deal with it, or like, well, he came in the next day and I was desperate, so I didn't want to make a, you know, you don't want to do the short-term pain of telling that person to hit the bricks or dealing with the situation. So you kind of just look the other way and let it happen. As soon as you do that once, you've screamed to every other employee that you've got, hey, come and go as you please. It doesn't matter. It's okay. So you've really got to pick your rules, and of course, make sure you're in line with your state. I'm in Arizona currently, and my cleaning business was in Colorado, both right to work, so I could fire anybody for any reason, and we did. So that's the second piece, is you've got to communicate it verbally and non-verbally throughout the process, starting with the ad all the way through when they do get fired.
They know exactly why they got fired. Does that make sense? Do you have any questions? Do you want me to continue?
No, that makes very much sense.
Okay, I get on a rant, so I always want to make sure you're with me and I haven't lost you.
Sure, absolutely.
So yeah, the third part, which I kind of melded into the second, is you've got to make sure to understand you're always responding. So a lot of people think, well, if I just don't do anything, I'll deal with it later. I'm not really handling it. It's fine. I'll handle it next time. You've already handled it. You've already sent a very clear message to your employees that it is totally okay to come in and do this, or even worse, it's okay for that employee to come and go as they please, but not that employee, because Kathy likes Steve,
but she hates Mike, and that's the worst thing you can do. I've fired people I absolutely love that were favorite employees, because we had a bunch of zero tolerance stuff. If you lie, cheated, or steal, you're fired immediately, no questions. If you don't call, don't show, immediate firing, no problem. And I fired people that I love very, very much and cared about them and their family. They were great employees, because the pain of losing that teammate was far less than the pain of having a culture of the inmates are running the asylum. So you've got to be very clear that you're sending a big, loud message no matter how you respond. You don't get to not respond. Once they don't call or don't show, your response, you are forced to say something loud and clear, and doing nothing is a very loud and very clear message. And again, I'm sure you've never done this, Kathy, but maybe there's one or two listeners out there that have just been too tired, too beat down, and didn't feel they could deal with it, felt like they deal with it tomorrow or the next day, and then that time never came. Does that ring any bells at all?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, thanks for letting me pick on you a little bit. The last thing is, I've got to say, and this is just by way of doing this for, gosh, 20 years now, and having hundreds of employees come through my doors, I've never once, and I've had to fire quite a few, which is probably my least favorite part of the job, aside from people dying, Kathy. We don't like that. That's the worst. But when people don't die, my least favorite part of the job is having to fire people. But every time I've ever fired anybody without fail, and there's been dozens of people I've had to fire, I'm sure, not once did I feel like I fired too quickly. Like, oh, shoot, I should have waited. I should have gave them a seventh chance or an eighth chance. It's always been, I should have fired them quicker. I knew earlier when they didn't call, or they called, but they showed up with a real hanky excuse that I didn't trust. I knew I should have fired them then, but I was just too lazy. And now look what it's cost myself, my company, the team. And I'm firing them now, but this extra damage has been done. On top of that, this is the real embarrassing part. The other employees will kind of give you the, oh yeah, took you long enough. Why didn't you fire them? You know, he's been a bad teammate, or she's been a bad teammate for weeks or months now. What took you so long to figure it out? That's embarrassing. So that said, I've never asked anyone that said, oh yeah, I felt like I fired too quick and I regretted it. Kathy, have you ever had to fire someone and felt like you waited too long? Oh, I'm sorry, not waited too long, fired too quick and went, oh, I should have waited.
No, not really. Not in that case.
Yeah, I found that pretty much to be universal. So I'm giving all of you Cleaner Nation, if you've got the people out there right now that you know shouldn't be on your staff, and you just, whether, and again, a lot of it's probably having to do with no calls, no shows, but you're just in that spot, like, I can't fire Bob, who will do his work? Rip the Band-Aid, let him go. Don't keep dead weight on. Dead weight attracts more dead weight, and then you're constantly paddling. You can never just float. So again, if you've got a lot of no calls, no shows, or even they're calling but they're not showing, it's a sign of a bigger problem. You've got to deal with the whole thing. You've got to look at your core values. You've got to look at your hiring process, your training process. Something in there is broken. Don't just figure, well, John's a lazy bum, and once we fire John, everything will be fine. Because guess what? You're going to attract another lazy bum the exact same way you attract the first lazy bum. You got to fix the process, not just try and deal with, do I fire this guy or not? Or how do I handle it right now? The horses are out of the barn at that point. All right. Any questions you have on anything I've said before we move on to the lightning round, Kathy?
No, I think that's clear.
I know I talk way too much, but I can't help it. I get fired up about nerdy stuff like employee retention. All right. You've earned yourself a trip to the lightning round. This is your opportunity to give back to Cleaning Nation, since hopefully you've got some really good coaching. It's your turn to coach up Cleaning Nation. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, Kathy?
I think, just to, as far as, advertising, you know, you need to keep your word. I do what I say I'm going to do. Never cheat, never take shortcuts, deliver and deliver on time.
I don't know about you, but that sounds an awful like a core value swimming around there somewhere, Kathy. And just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, question two: what's the biggest mistake you've ever had in the cleaning business or made in the cleaning business that we can all learn from?
Probably hiring employees without doing a background check.
Okay, that sounds like there's a story in there. And if we had more time, I would absolutely dig it out, but we don't. So I'm going to hit you with a third question. What's an actionable item listeners can put into practice today that'll improve their lives or their business?
Just make sure they stay on top of everything and, you know, answer emails and just, you know, go check on your people all the time. And just make sure your work is complete. Make sure everyone is hitting their deadlines and just serve the customer. It's all about the customer. Go above and beyond always.
above and beyond always. I absolutely love it. All right, Kathy, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Kathy's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you.
Congratulations.
There.
You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.